Well, good morning and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for being at the other end of the radio waves and the telephone lines and the email machine and the Twitter device and the many, many ways that we communicate with each other nowadays. And if you want to check our Facebook update, you can do that too. I'm starting to think that if you really, really gave total devoted attention to these different ways, whether it's, you know, posting new Instagram photos or doing the Facebook and the Twitter and all of that, you'd never get anything else done. But boy, you'd be well connected, wouldn't you? So here's your chance to be connected with us today on Perspectives. A reminder that the telephone line, if you want to go old school, is 414-1234. The local number is 800-926-8809, long distance. Email perspectives at WFSU.org. And our Twitter handle is at WFSU Perspective. Way, way back in the age of disco, KC and the Sunshine Band and all those other wonderful songs that we remember, there were a number of visionaries in Leon County, and they imagined a high-tech center of research and enterprise and all that that would attract new business and industry to Florida's capital city. Even back in the early Pleistocene period, people were thinking in terms of, well, this whole government thing can't last forever. We need to diversify the economy. Well, that vision led to something called Innovation Park, which today houses a bunch of world-class facilities, such as Danfoss Turbocore and the National High Magnetic Field Lab and a bunch more. But some folks have long maintained that Innovation Park could be even more than it is, and plans to expand the park's impact and scope have kind of ebbed and flowed over the years. Today, there's a new push to bring Innovation Park to kind of a pinnacle of its promise, and we're honored to have some members of the Leon County Research and Development Authority, Innovation Park's governing board, with us on Perspective. So let's say hi first to Board Chair Ann Longman. Thank you for coming in, and welcome to Perspectives, our first time visitor to us here, Ann.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
We are doing really well and so happy that you're here with us. We also say hi to the authority's executive director, Ron Miller. Welcome, Ron.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
And no stranger to these microphones, she, immediate past board chair and Leon County Commissioner Kristen Dozier. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning, Tom.
Well, thank you, first of all, for helping Kristen to put together this panel here. As coming off of the chair of the board of the authority here, your whole bailiwick, and we've had this discussion a bunch, has been on trying to diversify this economy in this area here. And I notice just in the latest job numbers that had come out from the Department of Economic Opportunity that Governor Scott has, we have a continual decrease in the number of public sector jobs in this area, leading again to more of a need for private sector. Is that really kind of the vision that people have had all along for Innovation Park, to help that effort?
I think that's part of it for sure. Growing up here, that is a constant refrain. We always heard that we were heavy on the public sector, not as much on the local businesses or attracting other businesses. Of course, we know we've always had a robust local business economy, but state workers were dominant, public sector was dominant. And so, yes, that is part of it, to diversify our employment base. I think the other thing, though, is that we have rich assets with two universities, research universities here in Leon County, and other communities really take a leadership approach in drawing out that research and making that be an economic engine of the community. We had not done that as fully as we could. I think we are starting to see some progress there. And so it's in part trying to address some of these challenges, but also just looking at our assets that we have and knowing that that is a resource that we have not tapped into in the past.
Well, for many people who are unfamiliar with Innovation Park, and let's face it, it is not exactly on a major thoroughfare. You come up Potsdamer from West Orange Avenue and then it branches out into the Durack Drive circle and all. And most folks really don't come over here unless you're, you know, popping into the Mag Lab for the annual open house that they have. So, Ron Miller, let's talk. First of all, again, again, a little bit about you. You have been the head honcho here at Innovation Park for how long now?
I've been here since 2012.
Okay. Give a quick thumbnail, if you could, to folks who have never been out here and say, what the heck is Innovation Park?
Well, Innovation Park is really an attempt to create a cluster of research organizations and private sector companies that can collaborate in the utilization of the research coming out of the universities and to commercialize that technology into new products. That's the big picture view of what a research park is supposed to be. And it's really about the collaboration. If it wasn't about that, we could have companies across the country that were taking this technology and try to commercialize it. But you really need that feedback that's going on between the private companies and the universities. So that's what they're trying to create here at Innovation Park. We've got a great foothold with research organizations, and really we're focused now on how do we get more of those private sector companies here.
Well, we already mentioned the Maglab and Danfoss TurboCore and a few of the other things, but it's much more than just that. How many organizations actually run out of the park here?
Well, there are 17 buildings in the park, and in those 17 buildings, we have over 30 organizations that are working here. And those 30 organizations have about 1,900 employees.
Wow. So this is actually a sort of almost like a factory complex, although they're different factories. It's not all one organization.
It's a very high-tech organization, a group of organizations out here, very highly educated, very, very smart people out here.
Oh, okay. Ann Longman, as board chair here, your job is to essentially do what? Try to expand this entire complex of entities, attract new business and industry, keep the existing ones happy. What is
yes,
your function
yes,
here?
Yes, exactly. And I'm the newest member of this crew here. I've been on the board for 2 years now. I've been the chair for really just a few months. The county commission expanded the board membership palette to specifically include more people from the private sector. I am definitely a person who has spent most of my life in the private sector as an attorney, as the founding shareholder of a law firm, running a small business. And we are focused on really sort of getting to the next step. Under Kristen's leadership, and now with Ron here, we've got a lot of what I would call sort of the troubles of the past behind us, are in a very good situation financially to move forward, and can really start looking externally instead of focusing on are things running correctly with the administration of the park. We are definitely at that point with the expansion of the Danfoss facility out here. We've got a lot of momentum going. This is a 200-acre facility out here. It is absolutely beautiful. It's starting to be connected to the town in a way that it never has been before. And so we're just real, real excited about what's going to happen out here and trying to push forward.
Well, and Kristen had mentioned some governance issues and all that, and I know there had been a realignment. It used to be kind of, oh, all right, we'll have FAMU and FSU and various other entities kind of all playing together. That has been modified to a degree, hasn't it?
Pretty dramatically in recent years. So I joined the board 5 years ago, right when I came into the county commission. So it was December of 10. And, of course, that was just at a year after a lot of big issues had been discovered, including an embezzlement. We don't like to talk about that much, but it is the reality. And I have always described that as the point at which the cancer kind of metastasized. And we saw some of the issues that had maybe been there for a little while. And I guess I would align it in two ways. One, as Ann said, a lot of the governance issues. And we took a lot of time in recent years to look at what we had, make sure that all of our operating procedures were as best as they could be, very transparent. We've expanded the board. We have a lot of new energy, a lot of new voices in the mix. But the other side was, through this process, we realized that we were not in a position to reinvest in the park. We were not in a position to utilize those partnerships and really take the next step. And I think one important point is the Leon County Research and Development Authority is the Board of Governors that we, Ann and I, are members of, that Ron works for the authority. That authority governs Innovation Park, and it's a very important piece. But it is also a connecting point between the universities, as Ron said, and the private sector and local governments. So it's the place we come together to think about their commercialization. So this relationship with the universities had not been great in the past. And one of the things we realized was that dividing the property up. So the three entities, the authority, FSU, and FAMU, each lease a portion of the property directly from the state. We still have a common agreement to work together to create a really amazing integrated campus and keep everyone on the same page and moving forward for common goals. But it took a little pressure off the authority so we could really put our money into those acres that we still control, attracting new business and other programs like tech grants and things like that to really help expand business startups and attract new businesses in the community.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the tech grants, and I saw something come out of the office just a little bit on that. We can talk about that at the other side of the break that's up and coming. But we can also talk a little bit about how the original vision of Innovation Park and dating myself again, I remember some of those discussions before
sure.
the park actually got started. And this, you could call it wild-eyed if you want, or just looking ahead to a future where this would be an attraction for business and industry from all over the country to swarm into Tallahassee and take advantage of the research that's being done at not only FSU but also FAMU as well, and how we've kind of come full circle and that vision is back again, front and center. We'll get into that discussion and also entertain your calls and emails when we return here on Perspectives as we talk about Innovation Park, members of the Leon County Research and Development Authority, as well as Innovation Park Executive Director Ron Miller here with us on Perspectives. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809, and perspectives at WFSU.org. We shall return. Back in the park, and I don't mean Cascades Park. That's a nice one, too. But even before there was a Cascades Park in Tallahassee, there was an Innovation Park, which had a totally different purpose and does to this day when it comes to diversifying our economic development and hope for the future when it comes to having a wide variety of things that we can do as far as generating income and revenue and all that kind of thing. Kristen Dozier, immediate past board chair and Leon County Commission, when we went to break, we were talking about that original vision for Innovation Park and the fact that all these high-tech companies, these microcomputer corporation and IBM and Control Data, boy, talk about company names that are now in the dustbin of history, huh, would come pouring into Tallahassee because we had this great space and we'd put them up in a building and they'd be able to produce stuff and it would be great. And really, it didn't quite happen that way.
It didn't quite happen that way. I was on a program with the Economic Development Administration last spring and was able to see a number of different research parks and national labs and things like that. And what struck me, particularly in one presentation in Madison, Wisconsin, was that a lot of the parks that started in the 70s started very much the same way we did. And, you know, if you have property, they will come. And I think one thing we've looked at recently we could talk about more is the planned unit development and everything really looked more suburban than kind of a cluster campus type feel, which we see now. But what these other parks did early 80s was realize they needed to start building spec buildings and being very aggressive at bringing in startups and that they would grow and expand. And that's what Madison had some success with. For us, I think we – and of course, you know, none of us were involved at that time. But the buildings that were built really focused more on what FSU needed and some other things like that. And that component of focusing on the startups, the commercialization, and attracting new business that might work with the research didn't really fit in to the programs that the authority was offering. That has changed dramatically. The National High Magnetic Field Laboratory is an incredible opportunity for us, other things like that. And I think what we're focused on is really what others have seen success with in recent years, and we are already seeing success with that as well.
Okay, well, talk about that then, Ron Miller, that changing vision here. And you and I had this conversation out in the lobby before we got started, the fact that there is a lot of local talent that can be leveraged into a situation like this as well, and giving them a place to spread their wings and grow rather than just go out and say, hey, company in Austin, Texas, why don't you come on into Tallahassee? We got a better deal for you.
Yeah, there's been a big push in the last 3 years, in large part to the efforts of Commissioner Dozier, and focusing on entrepreneurship. And the county went out and helped get Domey Station started. And I think the community is starting to see the benefits of having programs that are focused on helping entrepreneurs be successful. And Domey is largely focused on information technology type businesses. We think that there's an opportunity for Innovation Park to host another kind of incubator that would be more high tech, more of the hard sciences, taking advantage of the types of technologies that are coming out of the College of Engineering, the Mag Lab, and other facilities in Innovation Park. Develop the facilities that include things like wet labs and dry labs and maker space where prototypes could be developed. And then also to continue the same kind of programs that Domey offers, which would be the business support, accounting, legal, intellectual property, handling all of those kinds of services and educating these entrepreneurs on all the facets of operating a business. Those are the kinds of programs and services that could be offered at an incubator within Innovation Park where all of this research and technology is being developed.
The past, present, and future of Innovation Park, what we're talking about today on Perspectives, 414-1234, the local number, and 800-926-8809. For long distance, let's get Jerry involved in the conversation. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to ask a question about the participation of FSU in its relationship with Innovation Park and the other entities that are nearby. FSU's campus downtown appears to be boxed in. That is, it has physical limitations with reference to expansion. And I just wondered why the idea of a southwestern campus of FSU being located in that area and focusing on the science and technology majors and courses hasn't been put on the table. And then the difference that it would make if you had hundreds or potentially thousands of students out there giving lifeblood to all of these institutions, and then the things that go along with that. And that is housing and commercial development, just a really healthy environment that usually surrounds any major university campus. So why has there not been an effort to actually create a southwestern campus for Florida State University in that area, which really is not that far from the main campus in any case?
Okay, we'll throw that one out on the table, Jerry, and see what kind of response we get. Kristen Dozier, what do you think?
Well, thank you, and thank you, Jerry, for the call. So I think it's a good question, and I think part of that question has to be asked of FSU, of course. But FSU does control property outside of Innovation Park proper, but adjacent to us. So FSU and FAMU for the engineering school. FSU also has their intramural fields just south and west of Innovation Park. But I completely agree that we're not that far out. We've talked a lot at the board about, and you mentioned Cascades Park earlier, eventually, very soon, FAMU Way, the chain of Cascades Park will come out here and the new blueprint tax, like Bradford, Orange Avenue. There's a lot of construction around this area that I think will make it feel more connected to this part of the community. But secondly, FSU will be and has plans to expand buildings at the park. They've already started working on an interdisciplinary research building, which is extremely exciting. They're working on getting some legislative funding, hopefully this year. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that the park and the three partners, FSU, FAMU, and the authority, have agreed to this, and it's in our documents. This isn't a classroom space. This is for research. This is that connecting point. So you see the High Performance Materials Institute, jet propulsion, things like that, but you're not going to see the Bellamy Building with a lot of classes running through it. Having said that, the point about housing and commercial and having this be a really robust campus feel, if FSU should choose to expand more into their Southwest campus on the outskirts of the park, that is going to create some synergy. And we are focused – Alumni Village is now gone. We are focused on looking at housing options. Extended stay is extremely important. We're talking with FSU about that. We've got a couple of different opportunities. We need places for researchers to live out here. We need food service. We need coffee. We need things like that out here. And all of the work we've done in recent years has set the stage for that kind of investment in those projects to really start taking off soon. And we're already in discussion about a number of them.
Okay, because there's an expansion of that very question here that George online too wanted to pose to the group. And thank you for kind of dovetailing in on this, George. Hi, welcome to Perspectives.
Good morning, Tom. And it's good to hear Kristen Dozier out here, or Commissioner Dozier, I should say, and Mr. Miller Ms. Longman, what I wanted to know is, since Alumni Village is gone and I had the privilege of living out there for almost 2 years, what's going to be done with that property? And I think Commissioner Dozier expounded upon that a little bit. And, is that going to be part of Innovation Park, or is it already, or what are they going to do with it?
Oh, that is a great question, because we've even asked the same thing up to the folks at Westcott and say, hey, who's our neighbors going to be? And they're saying, you don't need to know now. We're working on that. Anne, what do you think?
Well, we can't speak for FSU and what they're going to do. But Jerry, George, you are both thinking about a lot of the exact same questions that we are thinking about. We have heard FSU officials say in very definite terms that they want to align economic development with their research activities. Excuse me. And that is an extremely important component. If we can start not just looking at the buildings and the physical location, but start looking at the research that's coming out of FSU, coming out of FAMU, and what TCC is doing, and seeing how that potentially connects to commercial activities, and go after targeted commercial activities and related features for the park, I think that's where we're really going to make a difference. And that Alumni Village space out there, we all look at it and go, wow, that just looks beautiful now. Let's do something that connects all of this together. So we don't have any control over that, but we're certainly thinking about it and talking about it.
Well, you mentioned the ancillary need for facilities too, such things as, again, coffee. You can go into the lobby of the Mag Lab and get a cup of coffee, or you can go over to the FSU golf course and, you know, get a sandwich. But 1,900 people, Ron Miller, you know, you need a lot of stuff.
You do. And I just want to kind of add to the conversation here with the question that Jerry brought up, and the fact that FSU is landlocked. And the property at Alumni Village really is going to allow FSU to take a look at what's on campus, on the main campus versus what's out here near Innovation Park. And I think it just opens up a lot of opportunities. Obviously, they haven't discussed all those plans with us. There's been an idea floated about potentially creating some temporary business incubation space, which we had talked about, some temporary labs in trailers close to the College of Engineering, where we could at least get this thing launched sooner rather than waiting for the 5 to 7 year time frame for building a business incubator. So that's just one thing that's been floated out there, but I'm sure FSU has lots of other ideas that they're working on.
Yeah, we need to get Gary Ostrander in
there
here.
The
Vice President of Research for FSU. Hey, a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Go to that address, click on Radio, pull down the Programs menu, and then click Perspectives, because we archive past shows and we try to have the latest program up for you within a few hours when it actually airs. And today's show will be doing the same thing a little bit later on this afternoon. So catch you online if you don't get all of the program here right off the air. Back to the whole concept, though, of something coming out of the universities. And we saw, and also the community college now, for the first time this past couple months, where you had FSU, FAMU, and TCC together doing the showcase of research at the Turnbull Center, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, world-class stuff is coming out here. Is this how we take that to market? You came up with this wonderful idea, this invention, this process, whatever, and Innovation Park or a similar facility will give you the wherewithal to get that to the next level and get it out there and make some money off this thing.
Yeah, that's obviously one way to view that. I mean, it's a chance for the community to go out and see. It's called Discovery on Parade, and we were very happy to be with one of the primary sponsors of that event. But that's one way for folks to get out there and show what they're doing. It can work to attract entrepreneurs to the researcher who can, the entrepreneur walks around and sees what looks interesting and it might be a good opportunity for them. But it's also a chance for us to go out and take a look. And we go out there and we actively try to attract some of these folks to come and apply for our technology commercialization grant. We do a program every year where we offer two grants up to $25,000 in total, where we offer some of this advanced funding, early stage funding for these companies to just get their products and services launched. And it's been very successful. Since 2005, I think it's been over $300,000 worth of grants that we've put out there. There are a number of companies that are still kicking right now that are being successful. We had a couple last year that are looking very, very promising. So the program just launched again. We just started with the applications posted on Monday. So if you're interested, go to lcrda.org and get all the information that you need to apply for that.
What's our deadline for application there, Ron?
I believe it's going to be early March. We're going to have an orientation meeting in February. So if you have questions, you can come out to the park and we'll meet with you and go over all of that, including all the deadlines. But the big thing is we have an event in May where five finalists will come out to Goodwood and present their ideas to a panel of judges. The judges and the audience will audiences included, which is really a cool thing. They'll score their preferences and all of that goes into tallying up to figure out who wins those two top prizes. It's a great program. We've done the elevator pitch now for I think 4 years, and it continues to grow. We had last year about 125 people from the community come out and see the great technologies that are coming out of the park and actually from the community at large. And just to make it clear, you don't have to be a university-affiliated technology. If you've got an idea, you're in the community, you want to apply for the grant, you can certainly do that. The key is we're looking for folks that have new technologies that they're trying to commercialize.
To make it timely, I'm thinking of the motion picture that came out, Joy, of course, Jennifer Lawrence and all that, a mop. A simple mop, but a better idea for it. And it would even something like that be applicable here, or does it have to be super duper high tech whiz bang?
We're looking for high tech. I will mention a couple years ago we had a hoof trimmer idea that was actually very well considered. I mean, it was an interesting idea. So it's it can be anything, but the key that we're looking for really is what are some of the high growth potential companies. The technologies that are going to lead to the next, revolution, whether it's the next Facebook or the next smartwatch or whatever, something that's going to be high growth with large markets. That's what we're looking for.
Okay, and I remember Ann Longman, one of the Nirvana's was the cancer drug Taxol that came out of Florida State University and all that. Are we looking for another Taxol and that sort of thing?
Well, another Taxol apparently would be like finding a penny on the beach. Those don't happen very often. That was a real home run. But yes, absolutely. And I think part of what Ron is saying that I think is real important is there are all kinds of things that come out of technology, research, et cetera. Some of it you wouldn't even necessarily think of as academically oriented research. It is much more like somebody using a makerspace to create a new device or product. It's a lot closer to tinkering than it is to sitting in a room with a bunch of books or working out formulas. So we don't want people to think that, this is just directed at PhD candidates, because it's not. A lot of these really great new ideas are not going to come solely from a traditional academic environment. Now, that academic environment is really important to us, but it's the opportunity to make all of these things work together that is what creates the synergy that we're looking for.
Innovation Park is what we're talking about here on Perspectives today, and we'd like to hear from you at 414-1234 telephonically or email perspectives@wfsu.org. A short time out, and we will be right back. Hey, back on Perspectives, and we are talking about Innovation Park and research and development and monetizing ideas in creative contexts that can lead to vast improvements in tax revenue and all these other kinds of wonderfully esoteric things. But really, to go back to something that Governor Scott was talking about in his State of the State address, it's really a lot about jobs, too, and diversifying that opportunity for a workforce here in our community. Before we go back to the phones, and we have a couple folks that are just hopping on right now, please hang in with us for a moment. Kristen Dozier, we were talking just going into the break here about a number of things that you wanted to hop on.
Well, I think, the tech grant that Ron just mentioned and some of these other things, and Ann mentioned TCC, and I'm really glad you did. I did not mean to leave them out. TCC has a seat on the board. We're thrilled that President Murdaugh, Kim Moore are with us. But I think it is important to think about, why does this matter for the broader community? Is this just something that, is going to focus on Innovation Park and just, some of the folks that might be connected with this research? Having TCC at the table and the business community and everything, this is a holistic vision. If we, for example, got another company like Danfoss, those jobs are both for very high skill level graduate degree people, but also folks who are having a very good job, good benefits, working on the manufacturing floor. This is a broad-based approach where we could see jobs for all different types of people in our community, and that ties in, for example, with TCC's Advanced Manufacturing Training Center. So it's really important to have all these voices at the table, and I was kind of smiling when Ron was mentioning the hoof trimmer. I personally love that technology, but there will be a need more generally, and we're seeing this through Domi and others, for different folks in our community to come up with different ideas, to draw out entrepreneurial ideas, help support existing businesses, help them grow to the second stage. There's a valley of death that many companies hit. That's what it's called in the second, third year, and they need some support then to keep going. So we are playing our part, and I think it will have an impact on lots of other businesses throughout the community. But this is part of the whole changing model of economic development in our community that I think is really strengthening our local economy.
Because I'm thinking of something like, let's just say, Bing.
Yes.
Dean Minardi's thing. He has a great idea, and we have these state-of-the-art and super innovative fuel cells, but we don't make them here.
Well, true, we don't make them here, but we have Bing offices. We lease to them in one of our buildings out here. And there is a lot of the components of the Bing Corporation are happening here, although some other things are happening elsewhere. I think one of the issues from my perspective with our past approach is, as you said before, we want to just generally target big companies like other communities do and attract them here. We need to think about our clusters. And for, TurboCore, Danforth TurboCore, their expansion, they've got an R&D facility. It's something different than the compressors they currently make. It's going to bring in reps from other very large businesses, multinational, to the park, to Tallahassee and Leon County, show them what assets we have. And if they build a R&D facility here, we don't need the headquarters. But that facility in itself will create jobs and help us expand. So, small and big wins are going to help us move forward.
Let's jump back on the phones. Dr. Royster is patiently awaiting. Hey, Doctor, welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, how are you?
Real fine, thanks.
Great. Look here, quick question. I'm going to piggyback off Commissioner Dozier's comments just now. Having served on the Blueprint 2000 committee some years ago, and where we are now is a part of the charge of our commission back then. Being a part of the Big Bend area and having graduated from PhD some years ago from FSU, as well as my school, FAMU, my beloved FAMU, and Clark Atlanta University, I was thinking, as you guys are talking about, would you consider expanding the scope to include communities that are more blighted that could benefit from Governor Scott's proposal and request for more funding for workforce development to partner with FSU, FAMU, and of course TCC? But I'm looking at old high schools in the area. My high school, Howard Academy High School in Jefferson County, is an unused facility. It has much potential, and as you guys are talking this morning, it came to me that from a proposal standpoint, that to consider this high impact community empowerment initiative thing, okay, to make a community more intellectually vibrant. We have communities that are high with a high drug presence and a very low educational interest presence, okay, high crime, high drug presence. So we kind of turn that around. So I'm offering that the scope be expanded to include the surrounding communities that would get would put younger persons, the millennials, the hip hop generation, and others more back into the forefront, or to offer them alternatives to what's happening now. Those are my comments. In other words, to partner with, and I can do this in proposal format to in collaboration with our school board and commission and so forth, and other leadership in the Jefferson County community and even other areas too, such as Gaston County, Mountain, and so forth, but to benefit from all the energy, innovation part energy that is really occurring, and it is something. It has changed this whole community in my mind, having worked and having been recruited to work in executive leadership in six different universities around the nation. And it's amazing how fast we are growing, but I'm offering that we also include, so nobody's left out of this policy, nobody's left out of this vision, that we include the communities and all that are especially underserved, and not having a voice at the table, if you will. So whether it's a satellite center, whether it's a something to get some energy going, where these surrounding areas, like Research Park in Chapel Hill and Raleigh and Durham and so forth, and like what's happening in Tallahassee, intermediate area, how things are growing in FAMU Way and Cascades Park and Innovation Park being at central, that core.
Sure, yeah, just part of that thing. Let me throw that out, Doctor, see if we get some feedback here from the folks, okay?
Well, thank you very much for the call. And I think you bring up a really important point here that I was touching on a moment ago. And to expand on that, we at the park and with the authority, we may have a certain scope of activities, and no one can accomplish everything that needs to happen in the space. But I think having FAMU, and we have Keith Bowers from the Small Business Development Center as an alternate on our board. He sits with us almost all the time. There is a very strong connection. And what I would say is two examples come to mind. One, FAMU having connection with the surrounding counties for some of their agricultural programs, they also have a tie out here. So if there's some synergy between the research they're doing in the surrounding counties, those might be opportunities to expand that in the future. But secondly, I'm thinking of the robotics club, the Octopirates, over at Sail, which is one of my favorites. It has actually got kids from all different high schools. A lot of low-income kids are involved in this. Programs like that utilize the resources out here indirectly. They're not coming through us, but they've got mentors from the Mag Lab and others helping these kids build the robots, and they're being very successful. As we attract more people and expand the research and connect with programs, whether it's, you know, Leon Works or robotics or something else like that, the resources here can help others build those types of programs and centers that really can engage our young people, and particularly those who might not have that exposure at home or in their schools, to think about these as career choices. And I think that is exciting, and it's already happening.
Yeah, and Ron Miller, you're talking about community outreach, and there, through these sorts of mechanisms, one more way to affect that, not primarily through maybe Innovation Park itself, but through some of these other partnerships then.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we have a partnership right now with the Economic Development Council that allows us to put on these research and engineering roundtables, where it's a chance to invite the community to come out to Innovation Park to see presentations from researchers, from entrepreneurs, to talk about entrepreneurship, to tour facilities that are out here. We do this at least 3 to 4 times a year. But that's a great opportunity for the community to come out and see what's going on at Innovation Park.
When's the next one coming up, Ron?
The next one is coming up in March.
March. Okay. I check my calendar here and carve that out. Tom joins us online, too. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hey.
Hey, Tom.
How are you guys doing?
Real good. Thanks.
I was wondering, I'm an engineering student currently at FSU, and my main question was, what would the panel, if they would know the numbers, the number of internships that are currently available in Innovation Park to engineering students, and if, in particular, if they may know the percentage of FSU graduates that work in the park?
Boy, that's a good one. Has anyone done a survey
good
of
question.
That?
Yeah, I think as Ron said before, when we've got a lot of folks out here right now, it is heavily dominated by some FSU facilities in the park. We're expanding that. So I would say there's probably a lot of folks affiliated with FSU. But we are, you know, kind of the umbrella helping, you know, the facilities in the park and these programs. But love the fact that these individual programs are attracting their own interns and other things. We don't have those numbers, but I think looking for other opportunities, as Ron just mentioned, the roundtable, to get the community out here, to get some of those organizations to talk to each other. There's been, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but there's been a neat idea floated by some of our staff and others at the park to do, you know, kind of an evening event, you know, different types of things to get people out here, not just the open house. And I think that will give people opportunities to get employment or internships or other things as they're introduced to the various organizations.
Yeah, it surprised me one night. Visited the Mag Lab for a late night tour of some kind, and in one of the cells, as they call it, one of the cubicles that had one of the largest magnets on the planet, it was not world-renowned research. It was a bunch of grad students, and they were working with Mag Lab's director, Greg Bobinger. He was helping them with a project that they were going. I thought, this is incredible. What other place in the world, you know, has this type of facility available for grad students, Ron?
Yeah, and that's a big part of what's going on at Innovation Park right now is you do have a lot of grad students and postdocs who work in the facilities. The internship opportunities probably aren't as large as they should be because we don't have enough private sector companies out here like Danfoss. And And we really, really, really need to get more private sector involvement in the park. With that will come more internship opportunities.
Okay. And that's something, again, that the roundtables can help to facilitate by just bringing those people together and saying, well, I didn't know you guys had this or that, or maybe establish some kind of relationship with some other existing entity that's at the park. But Anne, we're still looking to bring in outside groups and organizations and companies and all that, if possible, right?
No question. No question. I do want to circle back around and say there are some very interesting government-type tenants at the park as well. We've got the National Park Service Southeast Archaeological Center, which very few people know about. It's a huge center. It's going to be getting bigger. I, for one, am very interested to know if there are any opportunities for the private sector that could even grow out of that. There are technical things that have to be done with preserving artifacts that are extremely advanced in terms of the science required and the technologies required. So there's a lot of opportunity for that kind of connection. I really think it's about just putting all of the right people together and keeping the energy going and the numbers of people. You know, like Ron said, this is 1,900 people out here every day, but there are a whole lot more people in our community who need to have a better awareness. Ron has talked about a very interesting thing that I think he called a lab crawl that I thought was a great idea. I'd love for him to tell us a little bit more about
that idea.
Well, actually, this was an idea that came out of the Mag Lab. We can't take credit for this, but that's something that's been discussed, and Commissioner Dozier alluded to that, which is an opportunity for the community to come out and go from one facility to the next in the evening and a more of an adult event. And this is something that we will have to try to get coordinated with the universities and their facilities for everyone to have a chance to go beyond. You know, maybe you've been out for the Mag Lab tour that typically takes place in February. They usually get about 5,000 people out there, but it's kind of limited in what you get to see. What we're looking at is maybe something that's a little broader. You can go out and get to see a lot of the different facilities and what's going on out there.
Yeah, when you put together research at adult beverages, it's a good synergy.
People can get very excited about things.
You know, and FAMU has a great facility out here. They're doing a lot of things with plasma research, and I mean that's one of the facilities that hasn't been seen that I think would be really interesting for a lot of people to see.
And if I could piggyback on that, Tom, I think what Anne and Ron are both mentioning, the Southeast Regional Office for the National Park Service, it's here. They cover from the Virgin Islands through Louisiana, other places. The things that are nestled out here at the park, people haven't necessarily been exposed to. We're very interested in focusing on that. But there will be opportunities for private sector to get involved if they want to think about housing, if they want to think about a food service or something else. It's not just the technology. We will be reaching out to the broader community. So there's a real need on our part, and we are trying different ways to get people to know what's out here and to connect that to the broader business community. And I think that's really going to help us expand some of these opportunities in the future as people see this as not just an incubator for this research and other things, but a home for a really dynamic business and research community that's working in partnership. We are going to see that start happening. We are already seeing that with the Danfoss investment, with the Park Service. We've signed another lease with them. They're expanding. They're rooted here with FSU's investment. But the last thing I wanted to say on that piece was the targeted recruitment. This is something that the Office of Research at both FAMU and FSU, us, the Economic Development Council, City, County, others, were really focused on. Looking at the Mag Lab, what do we specialize in that no one else does? And finding companies that are connected to that to attract them to our community. That's what we haven't done as well in the past or at all in some cases. And we are really moving forward in doing that. So I don't want people to think we're going to do the same thing we've done in the past to try to get these communities just with a different look in the park. It is a holistic approach. I've said that word three times, but it's my mantra for the day.
Just to expand on something that Kristen said, that's one of my big takeaways. We really want to get the word out there also that if you as a private company, a private developer, a private investor have ideas for how to make more out here. So there's more there here. That's exactly what we're looking for. And Kristen mentioned food service, hotels, potentially housing, recreation. You know, there's a golf course down here. There's an aquatic center very, very close by. There are people in the private sector who know how to do this a whole lot better than we do. And having those as tangential parts would be really wonderful.
Leon County Research and Development Authority Board Chair Ann Longman, thanks so much. And also Executive Director Ron Miller, and of course Leon County Commissioner and Media Pass Board Chair Kristen Dozier. Thanks for coming on and talking about Innovation Park, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Perspective is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls on the board today, and I'm Tom Flanagan, inviting you to join us again next week. Perspectives will welcome former Tallahassee Democrat columnist and longtime city historical expert Gerald Ensley. Hope you can join us then.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.